You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Acts chapter 2, verse 14-21. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judah, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word. This for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we ask it. Amen. Again, we want to acknowledge this privilege that's ours afresh, and the hope that lies ahead for us. And at the same time, the privilege that's ours here this morning to come aside from the cares of this life for these few minutes to see how the Holy Spirit divides things for our understanding so that we can be approved in your sight in the way in which we administer that which is given to us. And so in our need, we look to you for grace, Lord, as you sanctify us to the end, that your purposes would be accomplished right here and right now. Thus would you be pleased to cleanse us to that end. We'll be careful to give you the praise because we ask these graces and your blessing for Christ Jesus' sake, and in his name we pray. Amen. In the reading of our scripture this morning, you'll notice that the context is twofold. Before the day of the Lord and in the last days. Now in the book of Matthew you have similar words concerning something that will take place after this particular period of time and in the context of the day of the Lord. Matthew 24 and verse 29. Everybody get it? Because then we're going to go to Revelation 6. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." Revelation 6, if you will. And this is the opening of the sixth seal in the book. Verse 12. Revelation 6:12. "And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind," and so on. If you read the first chapter of Revelation, you see that the whole book is in the context of the day of the Lord. Revelation 1:10. "I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard a trumpet, a voice behind, saying," so and so and so. So that the whole book of Revelation is in the day of the Lord. The catastrophe and the judgment that's recorded in the sixth chapter come under the sixth seal in that particular period of time. The descriptive things in Matthew 24, reference to the sun and the moon and the stars falling from heaven, are after the Great Tribulation. And the Great Tribulation is, of course, is pretty much the subject matter of the book of the Revelation. However, when we come to the book of Acts, we see some similar languages, not in the context of curses, but in the context of blessing. Notice again, verse 17, Acts 2. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and dreadful day. If you read the comments of commentaries on these two subject matters, you'll find that they merge them together as one and the same. However, Paul in the Philippian letter tells us to try the things that differ. In other words, similar truths do not necessarily become like truths. They're different. And it behooves us to understand this, and it'll help us to understand a lot of things that are paradoxes. For instance, we've looked at the last few weeks. We made a comparison between Matthew 24 and Luke 21, similar all the way, except in Luke it says, but before all these things, such and such things will happen, making a distinction between some of the things recorded in Luke 21 and Matthew 24. Now, if we're not careful readers, we'll pass over those things. Many things that have a blessing on the one hand and a curse on the other are not the same thing, although they use the same type of language. And we'll see that very plainly, I think, here. But everything that's said here in Acts 2 is in the context of a blessing to that nation. Notice who it's addressed to. You men of Judah. And in verse 36, ye men of Israel. So that these things will be signs, whatever they are, and there were certain of these signs in evidence throughout the book of Acts. And they would have all come to pass had Israel as a nation responded. They were just the beginnings of certain signs, such as the great tongues and things, the great prophecies. Men prophesied in the book of Acts and other things. But the miracles of the heavens did not appear. They were placed in abeyance. But once again, there's coming a time when this will become a reality. A lot of people say, well, now, what does that mean? Well, let's take a look at these symbols, and a lot of them are symbols, as you see. Turn back to the book of Exodus in chapter 12 and 13. Keep in mind now who this address of Peter's is to. It's to Israel, the men of Judah. And verse 13 tells us, speaking of Israel, the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So that tells us that blood to Israel is a wonderful blessing. To the Egyptian, was it a blessing to him? No, it was a curse. He didn't have it. Look, if you will, at Leviticus chapter 17. Verse 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, or is it blood that makes an atonement for the soul? To the animal, do you think that was a blessing for the animal? that was killed? No, he didn't consider it a blessing. But to the nation of Israel, it was used for an atonement. The atonement means at-one-ment with God for that whole year. It's passed over. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. That's in the New Testament. Verse 16. This is speaking about the house of Israel. If you read it very carefully, you'll find out. This is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts, in their minds I'll write them, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Verse 26. If we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, remain no more sacrifice for sins, a certain fearful looking of the judgments and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. For he that despised Moses, the Lord, died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye that he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified unholy, and hath done despite the Spirit of grace. So that the principle of blood to Israel is certainly a ground for blessing. Fire. Notice that also in this is one of the things that mentioned here. He's going to show wonders in the heavens and signs in the earth, blood and fire and vapor smoke. Fire. Go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. Exodus 3:2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Fire to them was what? A blessing. It was not a curse. Look at also 13, 21, and 22. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took away the pillar of the cloud by day. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before his people. Keep in mind, these are signs we're looking at that will be in the last days before the day of the Lord. Now the vapor of smoke. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Isaiah 4, 5 and 6. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day, the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and from the place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. Lift up your minds just for a minute and think about what James said in the 15th chapter of Acts. After this, I will return and restore again what? The tabernacle of David that has fallen down on Mount Zion. You'll find that also Mount Zion is connected with every one of these passages that have to do with the last days and before the day of the Lord. Not the temple, but the tabernacle. Turn to the book of Micah, chapter 4. We were just looking at Micah this morning in the 5th chapter. But I want to look at chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Waiting for everybody to get there. Notice the context again. The last days shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Jehovah shall be established, the top of the mountains, it shall be exalted above the hills, people shall flow into it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth where? Out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many people, rebuke strong nations afar off, for they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up nation sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Now notice carefully, And all the people, the Jews, will walk, everyone in the name of his people will walk in the name of his God, and we, the Jews, will walk in the name of Jehovah, our God. In the millennium, beloved, they will not be allowed. But when God rules from the heavens, and we read in Psalm 110, also quoted seven times in the New Testament, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make all thy enemies thy footstool. So before the Lord comes back, he's going to rule. All enemies are going to be made his footstool. We're going to have a time of peace. Nations will beat their swords into plowshares. You say, that's the millennium. Well, let's see if it is. Turn the book again to the book of Joel. And that's what Peter was quoting from, was from the book of Joel. In the second chapter of Joel, that's what Peter quoted from. Joel 2, verse 30 and 31. You see the exact quote that Peter used in the book of Acts. I show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now notice chapter 3 of Joel. And this also precedes just the day of the Lord, too. Prepare ye, verse 9. Chapters, prepare ye this among the nations. Prepare war. Make up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up and beat their what? Beat their plowshares into swords. And the pruning hooks into spears. Verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision. In the day of when? The day of the Lord. In the valley of decision. Notice what's in it. Verse 15. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. As you read into that also what we read in Revelation, the stars of heaven shall fall. Or as Joel 2 is in the context of things that will precede the day of the Lord, or as Joel 3 is in the day of the Lord. That tells us an awful lot. It tells us that before the day of the Lord comes, that Israel is to be restored. And again, I quote, behold, I've sent you Elijah the prophet before that great and dreadful day. He shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So Elijah's coming and all these things that precede have in view a halting of the awful carnage and the awful hell that's recorded in the book of Revelation. There's going to be peace here, beloved. This old world today is hollering for peace. God's going to give them a way out, show them that they can have peace if they really want it. And for a short time, I believe they'll take the bait. They'll go for it. Until the time comes when they see that those who are in authority, just like the Pharisee. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? He said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. We know. Who's we? He came from the Sanhedrin. They knew. We know. I'm not blind. We know. And they didn't give him too much trouble until they began to see that his position would do away with their authority. The elitists are always this way, beloved. If you have something that will fit their program, they'll welcome you with open arms until they see that it's going to rob them of their position. I just finished the work of Alexander Solzhenitsyn. You know, the elite people of America were responsible, the humanists were responsible, of getting that Russian out of Russia. Because they thought this intellectual would more or less underwrite what they believed. Instead of that, when he came here, he exposed them for what they were. And today, you don't hear anybody talking about going to hear Alexander Solzhenitsyn anymore. He's a forgotten man. So the stage, you see, beloved, is pretty plain if you begin to see that there's a day ahead of us, a great day coming, when God is going to intervene. He's going to send Elijah back, and with it there'll be great signs and wonders like you never dreamed about. They'll be to Israel, but we'll be able to observe it. For instance, we read about the flame of fire and the smoke upon the homes in Jerusalem. It'll be a big attraction. People will come from all the world to look at that. Every man, woman, and child in this world are going to know that God has visited this planet and that His Son is ruling from the heavens. Set thou on my right hand until I make all thy enemies thy footstool. Think about that. And we, I believe, are the privileged people to... Well, I may not make it because some of you people here will live to see this, I believe it. I'm trusting the Lord to let me in on that too, but whether or not I do, I'll see it anyway, but I may not see it down here with you. But some of you will, I believe that. I don't know just when it's going to happen, but it can't last too much longer. We looked at the things last week. We've seen what God has been doing secretly, and we can see His footprints as we look back into time. But most of you, I think, will make it. That's why next Sunday, the outer resurrection we'll deal with becomes very important to you. That's been a passage that's always boggled my mind. I've been working on that for years and years and years. At last, I think I understand what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul. And it's only for those of the initiated that's come into the mystery that can even begin to see it. And you're in that position. We'll take a look at that next week. Well, coming back to what we're talking about here, there are going to be many things that, for instance, when God rules from the heavens, this is His government. The kingdom of the heavens is simply the government of God from the heavens. That's what it is. Now, don't misunderstand me. God has never abdicated. He's always been in charge. But 1 Corinthians 4 tells us that we're in man's day. This is the day when man rules. And he sure is making a mess of it. The reason why is because he ignores the delegated authorities that have been given him. See, that's why. Very simple. It always comes out chaos. But we are very privileged people, Lord, folks, if you know it, to be introduced into some of the secrets that God has for His people. The great prophetic teachers of today, and I'm not knocking them because what they say is not untrue, what they don't say is untrue. If you listen carefully to the great prophetic teachers of our day, there's three points they make: the rapture, tribulation, and the millennium. That's exactly. It's become patent. It's so well established that it's a consensus of all their opinions. Now, they may differ on other things, but they'll agree here. And I don't differ with them either. I believe they're right. But there's a great gap that you're overlooking because they do not try the things that differ. We have to keep everything in its proper context. The blessings of Acts 2 are blessings. They're not curses. Read them carefully again. Note. Be consistent now with your thinking so that you can see this for yourself. I can only point this out to you. The Holy Spirit has to do the teaching. If He doesn't teach you this, well, I wasted your time anyway. But notice, I pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Has He ever done that? No, He never has. Oh, it is true in the book of Acts that many people did receive the Spirit of God, but not all flesh. Every man is going to be enlightened. The awful things that are recorded in the book of Revelation are never going to be executed until a man knows. You see, Israel is a pattern for us. Just as Israel rejected in the book of Acts their Messiah, the world will reject God too. But they're not going to reject him in ignorance. The Jew did not reject it in ignorance. See? But the conditions and environment are going to be perfect. They want peace? Beat your swords into plowshares. They're going to do that. But before the day of the Lord comes, they're going to beat their plowshares back into swords too. Look at the strange armament that you find in the battles of Gog and Magog. What do you find? Do you find modern warfare? No, you find horses, you find swords, shields, spears. We don't fight that way anymore. See. But look at Acts 2, the blessing. These are all blessings, beloved, for Israel. Their sons and their daughters shall prophesy. Their young men shall see visions. Their old men will dream dreams. My servants, my handmaids, I'll pour in those days, and they shall prophesy. What will they prophesy? Will they prophesy concerning the wrath to come if the nations reject it? That's exactly what they'll tell them. Said, God's given you this chance, now you better take it. The Jew is going to be a real evangelist. In Zechariah chapter 8, it says, 10 men shall take hold to the skirt of him as a Jew, saying with you, we've heard that God is with you. We want to know about this. And I can imagine, if you go to Israel today, people are touring over there to see the old places where the tomb of the Lord is. They walk the streets where our Lord carried the cross. All these things are attraction over there. They go to Bethlehem where he was born to see all these attractions. What do you think will happen when God produces on the city of Israel, on the city of Jerusalem, fire upon the homes and vapor on every home, like the Shekinah glory? Well, the tourists will be... you can't imagine what it'll be like. It'll be something to behold. And they'll be going back home. They'll tell them exactly what they saw. Of course, the intellectuals always have an answer, just like the Pharisees had an answer. That's what Jesus said. You remember? The common people went to hear John the Baptist gladly. So did they come to hear Jesus. But what happened? Beware of what? The leaven of the Pharisee. Beware of those who are in the know, the smarties. The propaganda. When you listen to the news at night, I listen to it so I can be informed of what the enemy's talking about. But if you listen to it carefully, if you're a good listener, you can see the lie over and over again. And the whole world is being rocked to sleep, see? Now, notice again the blessings. These are all blessings. They're not curses. I'll show wonders in the heaven. Can you imagine if Elijah comes back like he left? What a spectacular event that will be. He went up in a whirlwind and a chariot of fire. You talk about a UFO, that'll really get the headlines for a few days. They play that up. But you see, these symbols, of course, I don't know how this is all going to come about, because the old joke said I haven't been there yet, Charlie. But I believe that the time will come to those people that are here, particularly the Jew, when they see these things, they won't look on them as... Now, I can hear a lot of preachers when this happens. The book of Revelation is going to start. Everybody get ready. We're looking for the Antichrist. But that's not true. They're going to look for a blessing. It's going to come. Well, the man of sin is coming, all right. But he'll come as a result of Israel's apostasy. And Israel cannot apostatize, because they don't have the truth. See, an apostate is one who turns from the truth. And they don't have it. Israel is a subject matter of the prophets. We're not. Keep those two things distinguished. You won't make any mistakes. Prophecy deals with Israel, not with us. Well, I mean, it has an effect upon us, but when God talks about prophecy, Israel is the sinner. He's the one he's talking about. Notice, these are blessings. To the Jew, what does the blood mean? It means an awful lot to the Jew when he gets his eyes open. Today, it don't mean a thing to him. But it will when these wonders begin to happen, and when God pours out of his Spirit upon all flesh. One fellow said, you mean to tell me that God's going to pour his Spirit? Yes. All flesh. Now, get that thing. All flesh. What does that mean? Dogs and cats? Yes. Because in Jerusalem, no dog will ever chase a cat. Look at the 11th chapter of Isaiah. Something got to happen to those animals. The animals don't act this way. Verse 6. 11:6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Can you imagine that happen today? What would you do that? God will pour out of his Spirit upon what? All flesh. I'm not going to read the rest of it. You read your own. But you see that that's not natural. But you know, in the days of our Lord's flesh, when he was in the wilderness for 40 days, you know who he fellowshiped with? The wild animals. None of them wanted to hurt him at all. Why? Because they were under the Spirit of God, that's why. And that's exactly why the animals at that time won't do anything. Because they're going to be enlightened too. It says they won't hurt anywhere in my holy mountain. It doesn't mean worldwide now, that's there. A display for the world to see when our Lord rules from the heaven. He's not coming back here till all his enemies are made his footstool. Who is his enemy? Who has his enemy? Look at the Jew. Now who's it? The Jew. They're the ones. When he brings them back, notice Ezekiel 36. We can begin reading. Verse 16. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way is before me as an uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, for the idols wherewith they have polluted. I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to the ways, according to their doings I judged them. When they entered the heathen, the nations, where they went, they profaned what? They profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and they gone forth out of land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the heathen where they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you profaned among the heathen where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which you profaned among the heathen, which you profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified, set apart. Now notice how in a minute. It set apart in you, Israel, before their eyes. I will take them from among the nations, I'll gather them out of the countries, and I'll bring them into their own land, and notice what? Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. We live in a time, beloved, like no other people have had the privilege of living in. I believe that. We are just as fortunate, almost as it was when John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, repent for the kingdom of heaven. A lot of you are going to live to see that right here on this planet. Well, our time is up. Next week we want to deal with the out resurrection to see what our calling is in this context of things, so that we can see our place in things. It is not a prophecy at all, the resurrection, but it is something for us to attain. Pray about it. Father, thank you again for the word, the distinction as we try the things that differ, that which on the one hand is a blessing, that which on the other hand could be a curse, and to take for us as we are workmen to rightly divide in a sense of being approved. Give us that motive in our drive. This your blessing and care for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name I ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.